So I take it then, Dave, you're not familiar with Pete's Dragon or indeed Helen Reddy or Mickey Rooney?
Well, I'm familiar with all three, yes. Mm.
But not collectively together in that format.
No, I'm afraid, I'm pleased to say my memory didn't include that particular gem.
Well, it's one of Sarah Chase's favourite movies, isn't that right, Sarah?
That it is.
There you are. So here we are, Rural TV, the Rural Good Timers Dispatch, and I read what can only be described as one of the most surreal introductions that Sarah A. Chase has provided for quite some time. My relatives have suddenly realised that I've been missing them. What? You're living in England? How long have you been there? Me? Almost 3 years now. Them? Oh, wow. Have you looked up any family history? This brings me to an interesting point of departure and the focus of some recent ponderings that have been keeping me wide awake at night. You see, whereas my relations are mainly interested in the basic genealogical family stuff, i.e. names, dates, trades and children, what I've always wanted to know is, why? In 1638, why did they board that ship and leave England? Sarah.
And why did they never look back except for me?
Well, there we are, 372 years later. Here you are, back in England, full of new ideas, hoping that maybe, just maybe, one will triumph. Yours in the rural world, Sarah A. Chase. Were you smoking something when you were actually producing this particular piece?
No, actually, I've always been a student of Alexis de Tocqueville.
Yes.
As you know from de Tocqueville, one of the things he did was he traveled to the United States, wrote this wonderful book called Democracy in America, and it was what he observed, being from another culture, as to how the Americans got to be the way they are. And that's sort of been an area of fascination for me, not only, you know, how we got to be, how we were British originally, and then we had a sort of amalgamation of all sorts of different cultures. And then why we turned out the way we did, and where did we get our political systems from? Where did we get our mores and our cultural values from?
Was this something you used to spend debates and discussions and time on during the wee small hours with Hillary Clinton when you were an intern with her?
Not necessarily Hillary, but it's been a topic of many conversations. Actually, one of the people who I did have an involved conversation with this ever was Newt Gingrich, of all people.
Ah, Newt, marvellous. Speaker of the House, of course. Senate of Representatives, was that right? Have I got a different Newt?
He was Speaker of the House was he Speaker of the House? Yes, he was.
Yeah.
He's also a history professor, I believe, at the University of Georgia. That's where he started out originally. And when he's not behind a microphone, he's tends to be rather intelligent, well-spoken person when it comes to sort of historical research.
And yet he went into politics. Amazing. Just goes to show, you know, there's a room for a place for everybody and a room for happiness and various other bits and pieces as well. Lots of exciting things happening, of course, on Sky's 280's new Rural TV programme schedule. Reminder, of course, Rural TV on Sky 280. I think we made that perfectly clear with Vicky Warren earlier in the production. Hopefully she's acknowledged that now.
We are not getting rid of the tractor programmes. I'm absolutely sorry, but I would be tarred and feathered by half the population of Great Britain if we were to remove our tractor programming.
I could hear you almost when you were listening to that, Sarah. I could hear you coming up with that particular response purely and simply because, I mean, John Deere, the tractor show, the scenario, I mean, it's very much the bedrock of the whole thing, really. And, you know, much as obviously it's a broad church, it's a wide world, lots of rural activities, country music and beyond, getting rid of the tractor programs is a bit like Doctor Who without a TARDIS, really. You know, it's just not going to happen.
We do enjoy having a number of programs like the NTPA, which is the National Tractor Pullers Association, which I think is the program Vicky was referring to, where it's not something that you necessarily would see here in the UK, but it's a very big sort of following in the United States. And there are guys who get together and they have competitions pulling heavy loads with tractors. Some of them soup them up. They look like massive machines. And they have a great time just sort of racing them and sort of like drag racing.
You see, there are two things which I thought initially, Sarah, you might be pulling our plonkers here in terms of the thing. Once, of course, on Fridays, 1 p.m, Quilt in a Day, the Nancy Page Club, historical quilts from Florence LeGank.
Eleanor Burns is one of the top-rated shows on Rural TV.
precisely. And then, of course, his other classic line, which was A.G., Ph.D., Farm Basics, Pesticide and Herbicide Tips, and the Weed of the Week. I mean, I'm sorry, you know, I've thought of a Book of the Month, obviously we have. Never in my wildest flowerpot men-loving days did I ever come up with the Weed of the Week, hosted by Darren and Brian Hefty. I mean, that made me smile, Sarah. I'm sorry it did. Darren and Brian Hefty hosting the Weed of the Week is just, I mean, that if ever there was a reason to go and get Sky 280 for rural TV, mm-hmm. has to, I mean, that's right. Dave, Weed of the Week?
Well, I think it's usually skunk nowadays, isn't it? Weed of the Week? Or can't we say that? Or Helen on Siren?
You might say that. I couldn't possibly comment.
I just wonder, Sarah, any plans to bring it to Virgin viewers?
Mm-mm. Or Freesat return.
Or Freesat,
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. There are discussions about a Freesat return. I'm not actually privy to yeah. what's going on behind the scenes, but I know we are negotiating again to get back on Freesat. Virgin, I'm not aware of just yet, but I know we've had a number of requests for it. It is a matter of actually purchasing the broadcast signal for it, and that can yeah. be a rather expensive undertaking. But
I suppose part of the thing is there's possibly fewer people who might feel a kindred spirit to rural TV actually on the end of cable, because cable doesn't get run out into our countryside, does
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's true. It's on a satellite, you've got much better reception on it, because you can actually, if you've got just a satellite dish, you can usually pick up the channel that way. Mm. And that also takes us into distribution across Europe as well. And the reason we're trying to get back onto Freesat is that Freesat generally tends to have a bigger swath in the northern parts of the UK, where yeah. a lot of people have written to us and said, we just actually yeah. can't afford Sky
yeah.
and
devastated.
Get back on Freesat. Yeah.
You have put us to the digital divide in full force, Sarah. We're not
yeah,
selling
and it's,
yourself.
It's come full force in broadband issues and things. Mm. We're working with a couple of companies here, like Broadband 2012, mm. that's, you know, specifically interested in getting broadband to all of the UK by 2012.
Interesting enough, Dave, Sarah shares her offices in Stephen Street in London and the studios with those wonderful people from Current TV.
Oh, really? Oh, right. This has been quite a few changes there over the last few years, hasn't there?
There have been. I know they've lost quite a bit of staff over the last couple of years, but
Very careless when you think about it. You know, there we are. You know,
it was a great idea, yeah. but I think it was really difficult. Their programming was a bit weird to start with. You know,
well, it's one of the things that we found, too, is that when it comes to actually the operation, day-to-day operations of the channel, you can be very cost-effective in what you do. And I think they came out a little bit strong, and then it was just a matter of sort of managing expectations after that and really, you know, saying, well, this is what we need as our core staff, these are what our key objectives
yeah.
are, and
yeah.
then to sort of deliver on that, and which is somewhat to an extent what we've done too. We're no longer operating as a 24/7 channel. We've gone into the programming blocks on
the country. They've also gone back into the traditional sort of timed genre slots, etc., which makes it easier for a viewer to lock into when stuff will be available. And in the early days, with the VC squared idea, etc., you know, things were just a bit too all over the place. You never knew what was coming up next, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a problem for them. Really great
yeah,
idea, though.
What we've done, though, with Rural TV is we've actually had a very good chance to prove our audience and to prove the brand and to know that what we've got is our four primary genres really do work here.
Yeah.
And then to move it over into Horse and Country, we've just got the ratings back, and 7 out of their 10 top programs are actually rural TV programs. So we know that we've got the content that's wanted here, and now it's a matter of working with distributors like Horse and Country to figure out how to best place those blocks of rural TV content on there so that we can, you know, say, well, here's a block of country, here's a block of farming, here's a block of rural lifestyle programming for you, so that people can tune in when they know they want to watch it.
Exactly,
and to put the programs that have the highest ratings at times and when they're most available to somebody watch.
I think early days, people were a bit confused about the difference between watching online and watching via cable and satellite, etc., that actually they are different sorts of watching experiences, different sorts of people are doing it. It's, you know, that thing that will work online doesn't necessarily work broadcast at all.
That's correct. And here in the UK, too, you've had such a sort of dominance by BBC that everyone gets a little bit confused when you start to talk about, well, you have these options, and there are so many different channels on there, and they expect everything to operate just like BBC, but it doesn't. It's a completely different model.
Sarah, don't confuse me. As Mark Twain said, an Englishman is a person who does things because they have been done before. An American is a person who does things because they haven't been done before.
You did read all the way at the bottom of the Queen's letter.
Of course I read all the way to that. It's all very important. You know, if only to see Rural TV, listen live online. Rural news you can use every Wednesday, 6:30 at Siren 107.3 FM. Join us on Southside Broadcasting for the Midweek Drive. Last two questions for Sarah, please. Joy.
Sarah, have you enjoyed your conversation with us this evening?
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
So you'll be back again next week then?
As far as I know, yeah.
Great. Everyone's saying that tonight. They're a bit, thinking you're going to ax them, Alex, or something.
You know, sometimes, you know, the long knives come out and you have to sort of start all over again. But no, I think Sarah's safe.
You're going to keep her.
With Rural TV, without Rural TV.
You're safe for another week, Sarah.
Always needs
Alex
to
Alex knows he can call me in the States at 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning. I'll still talk on the air
for
him.
There you go.
My name's Malcolm Tomlinson, the new voiceover artist for the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM. Now, according to my notes, I've been asked to produce approximately 110 seconds of filler to enable one telephonic feature to move into another feature.